Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Convoy of Hope is celebrating its 20th anniversary right now. And we're celebrating serving 65 million people in America and around the world. And this church, last year, through the One Day to Feed the World offering, was one of the highest offerings that was given to Convoy of Hope in the entire world. Give God the glory and yourself a hand. Thank you so much. I shared with you last year that One Day to Feed the World, the concept is based out of Leviticus, and you'll see that scripture up here on the screen. And that scripture says that when we are gleaning the fields, when you harvest the grain in your land, don't harvest the grain in the corners of your fields or gather what is left after you're finished. Leave it for the poor people. I am the Lord your God. And the Bible is very clear that we are all blessed with a field. And that field represents our time, our talent, our resources. And we are to give the first fruits of that field to our local church. What we just did through our tithes. But in addition, we are to leave the corner of our fields for the poor. And that's One Day to Feed the World. We're asking all of us to participate by giving what's equal to one day's wage. Or as one pastor friend said to me, what you would want your wage to be in faith. But leaving a corner of your field. And this is a result. And I think this is one of the most powerful passages in the Bible. It's 2 Corinthians 9:10. And it talks about generosity. That is a blessing multiplied. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. You see, the world says if you are faithful with your tithe, then you're going to have 10% left to pay your bills. That's the world's economy. If you give, let's say, another 10% to help the poor, you now only have 80% left to pay your bills and to meet your own needs. That's what the world says. But God says that I will cause the remaining 80%, if you will, to exceed the 100% because I give seed to the sower. And the way I do that is that I enlarge your harvest field. I enlarge your capacity to give and to serve. That's his promise. You see, that's God's stimulus plan. And if God can get it through you, he'll give it to you. And oh, how he looks for people that he can just invest seed knowing that they're going to be good stewards and they're going to sow through generosity. And so that's One Day to Feed the World. Now, a few points that are very important as we delve into a Hebrew understanding of righteousness and generosity. First of all, as we just read, God is dutiful to supply us with seed, not with fruit. Seed, he gives seed to the sower. And we need God's wisdom to discern between seed and fruit. You see, many people do not experience God's blessing because they're devouring the seed instead of sowing it. And they're not able to discern between the seed and the fruit. But as we use the seed to meet our own needs, but also the excess seed we invest, we sow it into ministry, like in Israel, ministries that are helping the poor, reaching the lost. But also we need God to give us the freedom, the release to enjoy the fruits of our labor without feeling guilty. It's okay to have fun and enjoy your fruits. My wife and I, a few years ago, as we were studying this and as I prepared to write this book called Relentless, which is in the foyer called Relentless, Pursuing a Life That Matters, that tells the Convoy story, and it's just filled with principles that we believe will be life-changing for you and your family. But as we were studying and writing this book, God showed us that he wanted to bless us. And the word blessing that we see in the Bible is barukah. Say that with me. Barukah. That is a blessing from God and a blessing to God. And we said, God, we want to be a blessing to you. We are asking that you will prepare our hearts. We want you to trust us so much with this seed. So much with the seed that we can give back at least what we make at Convoy of Hope. That was 2 years ago. Well, last year, we were able, through businesses and other ventures that we're involved in, to give twice what we make at Convoy of Hope back to the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm hoping this year we can give three times. Because God gives seed to the sower. Now, on the front end, there's some warnings to this blessing. There are a couple things that are very clear in the Bible that will stop God, from giving seed to the sower. The first is greed. And the Bible describes greed as hoarding. What he intended seed to be sown for, we keep. In the picture there in the Bible, greed is taking things and tucking them in our cloak, hiding them. But the other is found in Matthew 6:12, and it says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in synagogues." That's called sounding the trumpet. Now that's not, you know, when you give money, you blow the trumpet. The receptacle that was used outside the synagogue every day to give alms for the poor, it was bolted down and it was shaped like a trumpet. And you would stick your hand down into this receptacle, and it was such where you could drop the coin and there would be hardly any noise, but you could not take any money out. So there was some theft protection involved there. But to sound the trumpet was to take your donation, your alms, and then throw it so that it would clang around and then hit the change at the bottom. And so that's what Jesus is talking about. Don't sound the trumpet. And so when I share that my wife and I are being blessed beyond what we could ever imagine, I'm not sounding the trumpet, except sounding the trumpet for a God that is faithful to bless those that are faithful to his word. Amen? The blessing of God. Now I want to give you three Hebrew words this morning that I truly believe are the keys to unlocking the very windows of heaven and the seed being poured out upon your life. The first Hebrew word is zakut. Say that with me, zakut. Zakut is a kind and generous acts that God notices we do that are not done out of obligation or a result of a commandment, but out of a free will, in order to show the love of God to someone else. It is generosity to someone where they could not possibly repay you. The offering we receive today, the one-day offering, is zakut. I actually left it back in the green room, but Pastor George sent me a note from a soldier who is part of the IDF, the Israel Defense Force. His name is Andrew. And he sent the church a thank you for providing an air-conditioned system. And he said, right now, this air-conditioned system provided by Faith Bible is helping us to have cool heads while we're under pressure. That is Zakut. That is Zakut. And God loves that kind of giving. Because you see, when we practice Zakut, God moves into this multitasking mode. And that's what he says. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. If God can get it through you, he'll give it to you. I shared last year that my family in 1969, we were the recipients of Zakut. In fact, Convoy of Hope was birthed out of our family going through a tragedy, but people responded with Zakut, with compassion. I want to show you my family in 1969. There's my dad, my mom, siblings, our dog Buffy, our cat Billy. And my dad was pastoring in Northern California, and he and my mom, as they were driving down the freeway, a drunk driver slid across the divide and hit them head on. My dad was killed instantly, our mother survived, but they literally had to pin her back together again for her to survive. And I'll never forget the day when we went to visit her at the hospital and we peered through the glass into her room, and she was so beaten up and broken, we didn't even recognize her. In fact, when she spoke my older brother's name, he collapsed to the ground next to me because of the trauma. So there we stood, wondering what would happen next. Three boys and a younger sister. And people, they brought us food. In fact, it was a women's ministry that brought us food every single night until our mother could get on her feet. And amazingly, my mom, almost 80 years of age, is still alive. Yep. Amazing. And if my mom were here tonight, she'd be the first to tell you that she has many gifts, but cooking was not one of them. And so the food these people brought us, it was so good that when our mother began to recover, we pleaded with them to continue. And I shared with you last year that my mom would, she loves to joke that most of the time she would use the smoke alarm as the timer. I kid you not, we had to pray before the meal and afterwards. I mean, in vacation Bible school, they'd ask, what scripture have you memorized? And I would say, you can eat deadly poison and it will not harm you. And they'd all look at me like, man, this is one weird kid. But these people provided Zakut. And I remember my dad had this major fixer-upper house that we were about to move into. And one day I stood outside that house as it was like the extreme makeover. The community came together to make it livable. And it was a turning point in my heart. I said, why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? But regardless of why they're doing it, if I ever have a chance to help others like they're helping us, I want to do it. And so years later, we started Convoy of Hope. And because of people like you, compassionate, generous people that are practicing Zakut, what the enemy had intended for defeat on that freeway, God has turned into victory. And now millions are being touched with the love of Jesus around the world. Praise God. Praise God. You know, there was a question then about who was going to take in four kids. And since I was with you last, we found a photo that's pretty amazing. Because we did this celebration in Concord, California, where our dad pastored, but also where he was killed. And we decided we were going to invite family members and friends that helped us get a Convoy of Hope established, and it was just a beautiful reunion. And as we were about to conclude this celebration, there was this family off to the right, and they thought they were there just to enjoy the festivities, but we invited them up on the stage to honor them, and it was the Davises. I want you to take a good look at the faces of Bill and Leveda Davis, the faces of people that took us in, nurtured us, but invited us into their home, not to just share their space, but to share in our sorrow, our pain, and even our anger. But that's the face of two people that are enjoying the fruits of their generosity. Praise the Lord. And the two Hebrew words, friends, that I want us to sink so deep into our soul are two Hebrew words that describe zakut and the depth of it. And the first is sadak. Say that with me, sadak. That means righteousness. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Blessed are those that thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Underline that word, righteousness, and filled. The word filled is the same word that is used when our tummies are filled or satisfied. But righteousness, when we see that word, our first thought is, oh, that means purity. That means to avoid unrighteous things or acts. But no, in that same chapter, Jesus says, blessed are the pure. He's not talking about that form of righteousness. Because if you didact that word righteousness, you see, first of all, TS. Because in the Hebrew language, each letter represents a picture. And it's like a comic strip, if you will. Each letter is a picture, and you put it together, and it has a principle or a story. And in this case, that word righteousness, TS, the first part, is a fish hook with bait on it. It's what lures us. It's what we are drawn to. Doc is open door, what we allow inside of us. So righteousness, in this case, is what we are drawn to, what lures us, what gets inside of us. But here's the amazing thing. The Hebrew people added to sadak, A-H. And if you take that letter H, it means the back of one's head or open window. Meaning that sadak, righteousness, is what comes in, what we allow in. But sadaka is what comes out, what is revealed. And so what Jesus is saying is, blessed are those that thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. You see, the manifestation of true righteousness will be generosity. The manifestation, the revelation of righteousness inside of us will be generosity. That's why there are over 1,000 scriptures, I mean over 2,106 scriptures in the Bible that claim generosity is the fruit of righteousness. Do you see here, righteousness is not intended by Jesus here to mean what not to avoid, but rather it's an invitation to enter into righteousness that is revealed through acts of generosity. Are you with me? Righteousness is seen as generosity. Now, when I was at seminary, one professor would love to start the class by saying the three rules to biblical interpretation are context, context, context. And if you look at the context and you look further down in chapter 5 of Matthew, Jesus goes on to say, we are called to be salt and light in the world. We are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And then he says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Righteousness as seen through generosity. Generosity is also, it's the revelation of Jesus to the world. And I'd like for Rick to come on up, and we want to share with you about what Convoy of Hope and Faith Bible and our network of churches around the globe are doing in Israel and what we have planned. So let's welcome my assistant here, Rick Sarecki.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you, Dave. Just came back from Israel, and we're Israel-centric like you're Israel-centric. We've already partnered together in various capacities, but we're working on a couple things. Next year, there's a group, Empowered 21, that is hoping and praying for 10,000 people to come to Jerusalem to worship and praise the Lord. And they've asked Convoy of Hope to be the venue for compassion and kindness. How can we help those people volunteer an act of kindness in the land of Israel? So we've gone and we've met with various people who are already doing acts of compassion there. And what's really interesting is different groups do different things. There's one group that focuses on the immigrants. There's another group of Christians who focus on the elderly. There's another group, a secular group called Lekid, talk about leaving a corner of your field, a secular Jewish group that rescues food from the fields for the poor and suffering. And what's interesting, all these groups want to do things separately, and they need to, because if they do things with others, it could hurt their integrity of what they're trying to do. We could be the glue to help bring everyone together. Lekit was interesting, because when we were at dinner with, here are some of the fields we were at, gleaning the fruit and the food. But when we were at dinner, Paul, the director at Lekit, he's a secular Jew from Australia, and he just couldn't understand what we were doing there as Christians, why we would love them and care about them so much. And I was asking Paul, well, why do you rescue the food? Why do you do it? Hoping that he would say, because, you know, God wants us to take care of the poor and suffering. But what he said was, it's the right thing to do. He comes from a social worker background, and we're happy they're doing the right thing. We want them to do the right thing. But then our conversation turned spiritual because he kept saying, you Christians, you're different than the European Christians. You know, you love us. Why are you doing this? Why are you here? And your pastors and I were able to share with them, we're here because we believe in the theology, what the Bible says about the love of Israel and the Jewish people. And we're here from the biblical perspective because God wants us here. And it's not just to do the right thing. And I asked Paul, I said, Paul, in the scheme of things, I said, how many Jews are there? 16 million in the world? And I said, how many people? 7 billion people in the world? I said, how can 16 million people be such a thorn in the side to 7 billion people without God being involved in it? I said, this little speck of dirt we call Israel that you're doing the right thing on, rescuing the food, I said, why can this little speck of dirt be so significant to so many people in the world without God? And he was stone quiet. You almost can feel 2,000 years of burden and persecution lifted off his shoulders, his love. So in addition to us helping the poor and suffering, we're bringing one more to Christ. We're moving people's hearts to compassion. And we're excited about partnering with you and what we're doing now and what we're going to do in the future in Israel. So thank you for that. Praise God.
All right. Thank you, Rick. And Rick's going over to the other campus to speak. So we'll be praying for you, Rick. All right, thank you. And hope you saw the slides up here. Looks like they had a great time. There's Pastor George blow-drying his hair. It was actually 106 degrees. And just if you can leave that there for a second, because we have been asked by the Ministry of Tourism to host not just tours for our church, for parishioners, but also to work with them on bringing clergy. Less than 5% of the clergy in America have gone to Israel. Think about that. 95% have never been to Israel. And so we're going to make it possible for many of them to go. And how many believe it will be life-changing to their teaching? And also we went to bring business executives, and so needless to say, the person that we've selected to be the primary teacher for these tours is Cheryl. And also, I just want to mention, and Brian, if you'll come on up, Brian, who oversees the Rockies for Convoy of Hope, we are going to show you a short video that Pastor George wanted us to show, that I know he showed previously, but he wanted us to show again. But generosity, the Bible says, meets needs. So we're going to have an opportunity today through our one-day offering to help the work in Israel. That's half of it, and the other half is going to go to providing food, clean water, and also education for needy kids. But Brian, before you give us an update, we're going to show this video of what happened last year, okay? Let's roll it.
On behalf of all of us here at Convoy of Hope and everyone we've been able to help in 2013, thank you for partnering with us to bring help and hope to so many people this past year. On all fronts, 2013 was another amazing year. And here's a quick recap of what we were able to accomplish because of your help and your support. We expanded our children's feeding initiative, and we're now providing nourishment and much more to more than 145,000 children in 11 countries. That's an increase of more than 19,000 children this year alone. Now together, we responded to 15 major disasters in the United States and around the world, including the full-scale response in places like Moore, Oklahoma, and then the devastating typhoon that hit the Philippines. We continue to conduct dozens and dozens of community outreaches across the nation. And this year, more than 118,000 honored guests came to those outreaches and enjoyed bags of groceries, free haircuts, shoes, health services, family portraits, and so much more. We were also able to expand our agriculture initiative and our women's empowerment programs. In Haiti, for example, we were able to pilot that agriculture initiative, and we saw more than 1.2 million meals grown by farmers in Haiti alone. These meals are now being used to help feed families and children right there in Haiti. In Ethiopia, women enrolled in our Women's Empowerment Program saw a 240% increase in their income. By teaching women basic learning and business skills, we are enabling them to provide food and shelter, health care, education, clean drinking water for their own children. None of this would have been possible without you and the over 40,000 volunteers who joined with us in disaster zones. They joined with us in community outreaches in the field. Many even came to our own distribution center where they sorted food and supplies. All told, in 2013, Convoy of Hope served more than 7.9 million people around the world. That's about equal to the populations of Colorado and Nevada combined. And it's been 20 years since Convoy of Hope was founded, and we've been on the front lines of relieving human suffering in more than 100 countries. We couldn't have done any of this without you, our faithful and generous friends. Thank you so much for believing in this organization. Thank you for partnering with us. And on behalf of all those millions receiving help, thank you so much. And we look forward to partnering with you again in 2014 to do even more good.
Wow, isn't Jesus amazing? Thanks to friends like you, he's still multiplying resources, like the little boy's lunch, yeah? You know, I love what Dave says frequently. If you want an ordinary life, keep your lunch. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you want an extraordinary life, give your lunch to Jesus and watch what he does. You know, the three programmatic expressions we have through Convoy of Hope involve children's feeding initiatives, involves community outreach and disaster response. And I just wanted to drill down a bit on the children's feeding initiative. We're now feeding 146,000 children in 11 countries where there's chronic poverty every day. And what that means to us and what that means to them kind of has a disconnect. You see, that one meal many, many times over means that a family unit can stay together and the children don't have to go live in an orphanage to get fed. That's the power of one meal. It's the incentive to go and get an education and leadership training and learn a skill. But most importantly, it's an opportunity to be introduced relationally to Jesus through a local church that serves in that school or that orphanage. You know, when the earthquake hit Haiti 4.5 years ago, January 12, 2010, we were feeding 11,000 children every school day through a small warehouse. Since that time, talk about multiplying resource, a warehouse was constructed through the donation of a family that owns a large glass company. So no one day to feed the world dollars were going into building that facility. And it now holds up to 8 to 10 million meals, has capacity for that, should there be another catastrophe. And we're now feeding 61,000 children every school day there in Haiti. And what that means, when that number gets large like that, it means that we're actually viable in practicing generational transformation in a country that's known for its challenges and resource. And who gets the credit for that? Jesus, through almost 300 local churches serving in partnership, boots on the ground in Haiti. Thank the Lord for that. You know, we also have these community outreaches, and I don't have time to tell you all the wonderful stories that go from city to city, but recently in Kansas City, I met the pastors there, and they were motivated by an article that was in the Kansas City Star called Zip Code Murder, and 26,000 people live in that zip code. It's 6% of the population of Kansas City, but it has over 20% of those incarcerated for murder in the state of Missouri. Worst neighborhood by far, even the worst in St. Louis, cannot compete with the difficulty was in the zip code. For the last 5 years, they've been conducting an outreach in that part of the city, in Swope Park, and they've ministered personally to 20,000 of those 26,000 that live in that community. And from within churches, board members and elders in churches have been elected to the city council, and throughout that city, the talk is, you know, breast cancer has been detected in women who would have died. And medical screenings, dental screenings, job, there's a lift in the whole quality of life in that area because of Jesus and his local church being resourced through Conway of Hope. Isn't that powerful? I love the stories that come. You know, in disaster response, we just been ministering in Oklahoma and Arkansas and Kansas and Mississippi, giving out hundreds of thousands of meals to people who have been impacted by flooding and tornadoes. You know, when we were in the Philippines, part of that children's feeding initiative meant that we had pre-positioned before Haiyan hit land, 1.5 million meals were ready before that storm hit in 6 locations throughout the country. And the church was immediately mobilized to minister to her neighbors that she serves and lives among. And the stories that have come from that, we're still there ministering and rebuilding homes. We're still in Sandy. We're still in Japan. We're still in Joplin. We're still in more because the local church is there. And she's now in a position of leadership to serve the poor. In those who were victimized by the storms. And that would not be possible without Jesus stirring your heart and you being responsive to him and giving not to Convoy of Hope, but through Convoy of Hope. So God bless you today.
Thank you, Brian.
I just want to mention a few more things before Pastor Jason comes. First of all, the Bible says generosity is how we know God. And the only place in the Bible where it clearly says that God defines what it means to know him is in Jeremiah. And it says, he took care of the afflicted, so it was well with him. Is this not what it means to know me, declares the Lord your God? And then we also see in Psalms that through generosity, the psalm says, I've never seen the tzedakah, the righteous, forsaken, or their children begging for bread. If we're generous, God promises to meet our needs. But he also makes it very clear that we are to give not out of guilt, but we are to give really out of a heart of thanksgiving. He says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Nobody's twisting your arm. But God loves a cheerful giver, a happy giver, somebody that is excited about giving. And then finally, it says generosity should be out of a heart of thanksgiving. The service that you perform is supplying the needs of God's people, but it's overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. And that's what we're about to do. Nobody's twisting your arm or putting a guilt trip, but rather we're saying, God, you've blessed me with a roof over my head, clothing, food on the table. For me, my children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, and as an offering of thanksgiving to you for blessing me, I want to be a zakut to others. It's an offering of thanksgiving. And I want to just conclude with this story because I think it just encapsulates what we're able to do as a church family. It was in Nairobi, Kenya, and I want to show you a picture of the kids that are in one of the worst slums in the world. It's ranked in the top five by USAID as far as violence and just squalor. But in the midst of this, we have churches, we have schools. And one of the schools that also serves as an orphanage, because many of these kids don't have parents, many of them will not even reach the age of 13. And one night, the director was about to walk outside, and at the front door, there was a little boy laying at the doorstep. And he picked up the little boy because the boy was too weak to walk. And he carried him to the dorm room, and he laid him on the bed. And then halfway through the night, the director felt prodded to go check on the boy. And so he walked in, and he saw this boy not laying on the bed, but now on the ground. And he said to the boy, "Why aren't you laying on the bed?" And the boy replied, "I've never had a bed." And so through the work of Convoy of Hope, providing, again, food, clean water, clothing, and education, discipling them in the Word of God, this young boy, I saw him months later, and he looked at me, and I'll never forget it, and he asked me this question. He said, "Sir, is this what they call heaven?" And that's what we can do. Because you see, this is a church that is not just on its way to heaven. This is a church that has been placed here to put heaven wherever there is hell on this earth. We have a destiny. We have a destiny. And through God's blessing today, as a result of our zakut, lives are going to be transformed, and they're going to find heaven on earth, and most importantly, they're going to meet Jesus in heaven above. God bless you. Thank you so much.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.